I'm comedian, writer, and filmmaker Chuck Staton from the punk band Senior Discount.
And I'm writer and comedian Brad Rohr from the Providence Improv Guild.
And this is the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 535 of the Chuck and Brad Podcast.
I'm Chuck.
I'm Brad.
How you doing, Brad? Having a hard week at work?
I am.
Tell me some funny stories when we started.
I did.
Really got me going, laughing.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, not a lot of bed bugs. One bed bug.
Yeah, some
possibly, bed bugs. You know, not even confirmed as bed bugs, by the way. Just a bug bite on her leg. She said it's
could
bed
have been
bugs.
A mosquito.
Changed rooms twice. I met her mom.
Yeah.
Her mom was really angry.
Yeah.
Then I talked to her for a little bit, put on the old chubby charm, as we call it. And anyway, she'll be joining us on the podcast as our new third. She's the new Ray Harrington.
How dare you? I have a question for you.
Yes.
I put this up on my social media this week.
Okay.
And I want to ask you about it.
Okay.
Someone on Twitter posted, "Hey, film Twitter, I got a question.
Okay.
We all know red flag movies, Fight Club, The Joker, etc. We can all spot on site. But is there any green flag movies?
I mean, Josie and the Pussycats, right there. If you like that movie, you're an okay chap."
So I retweeted this and I put, "I think Jurassic Park is a red flag movie because if you like it, then you must sympathize with..." Actually, let's explain this first. A red flag movie must mean if someone likes the movie, they're a red flag.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that means, you know, so if they like The Joker or Fight Club, they're a red flag.
Right.
And I put as my response to it, in quotations, "I think Jurassic Park is a red flag movie because if you like it, then you must sympathize with the cold, callous raptors." And then I put an arrow putting at that statement, and I said, "This is as idiotic as the idea of claiming that people who like Fight Club and Joker should be red flagged for it."
Yeah.
What do you think about that statement?
I like Jurassic Park, but I don't feel like a raptor.
What do you think about the person saying that?
I think it's dumb. I think it's a dumb statement designed to get a reaction.
There was a
I think it's a terrible take. The idea, you know, if somebody is too obsessed with anything,
yes, that's
that
right.
might be a red flag. But if you're like, the Joker, you know what? More talk show hosts should get shot. If that's your takeaway from Joker,
exactly.
That's a red flag.
So this
if you're like, wow, Joaquin Phoenix is good at acting, and you're like, I like to watch good acting,
right?
And that's your takeaway from the film, probably not a red flag.
Yeah, I think that categorizing everyone who likes a movie like Fight Club or The Joker, you should be red flagged because they like those movies, is really crazy and weird and dumb.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this and
Empire Records, also a green flag movie.
Because I was actually breaking this down and I was like, you know, the thing is, you know, the actual logic behind my thoughts are there are so many reasons to like a movie.
Right.
That this person assuming if you like it, then for some reason you must either sympathize with the protagonist or agree with something terrible that happened or whatever.
Right.
Is so like dumb and short-sighted. And then I started looking up all the awards that Fight Club won.
Right.
And I was like, well, they won an award for sound editing and this and all these different things. Like there's all these
reddest flag.
They have all these positives about them that are like, you know, very well respected.
Right.
And the idea that someone's going to look past all those things to say, if you like the movie, you know, you should be red flagged or whatever, is so dumb.
Yeah.
So I posted this and I thought to myself, is this going to be a woke people versus me thing?
Woke versus choke.
Do you think it's a woke thing to say that Fight Club, and if you like Fight Club and Joker, you should be red flagged?
I hope not.
Because I was thinking about it and a couple people did comment.
Right.
And they said, essentially, two people commented, like not for the other person, but kind of in defense a little bit.
Right.
It's funny because the original statement, you know, the idea of red flagging someone for liking something, it's just kind of, it puts people in a weird box. Yep. And it's kind of like casting people aside and making people feel alienated in some way. And I think that that's so gross. And it's almost like, isn't that the opposite of, like in the idea of him saying, these people should be red flagged,
right?
Or that we all know these people should be red flagged for liking these two movies. That idea is to keep normal people, quote unquote, away from people who are weird, I guess.
Yeah.
And isn't that like, isn't making people feel bad about what they like in movies kind of the opposite of doing that?
Yeah, it's weird. I think about, I'm like, all right, well, what negative consequences have come from Joker fans or, you know, Fight Club fans? And honestly, like, cringy online posts.
Well, it's different.
The movie Taxi Driver, again, another well-respected film, inspired the attempted assassination of a president.
Yeah, and so did, didn't Clockwork Orange inspire some weird rashes of violence?
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, everyone kind of thinks it's archaic to blame, you know, like, let's say, like, Columbine on Marilyn Manson or school shootings on video games and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that this guy is saying that Fight Club caused these things. He's just saying red flag. But still, the idea of labeling people as to be avoided or something like that, or to look out for because they like movies, is just so gross and so... I'll put it this way. I think it's anti-ally. Dude, what do you think about that?
It's weird because there are definitely things that if you and I are hanging out at the pool hall, shooting pool.
Yeah.
And a guy comes up and he's like, hey, turn that TV to Newsmax. And we're like, I don't even know if that's...
What is Newsmax?
It's a super right-wing, like, allegedly news network. Like, super right-wing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, I don't know that I want to be friends with this guy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that influences your worldview. I do think there's a difference between regular consumption of hopelessly biased news versus a 2-hour film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
And again, you know, if you're way too into something and taking like negative messages and it makes you act in a negative way, that's the red flag. Like, and to say otherwise is foolish. That's all. It's just a bad take.
Yeah. And I think that I think that people who judge people that harshly about their likes and dislikes in movies are the red flag people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
It's a bizarre take.
Yeah. And I just hated it.
You know, I'm glad the guy got his 14 seconds of fame for being colossally wrong on something. I'm sure he's going to end up as a commentator on Newsmax next week.
Yeah. It was really weird, but I hated that. There was one dick who commented on my stuff and I was trying to argue with him. Like, and I was, you know, I'm open to talking to someone about something.
Right.
And I don't really argue on the internet anymore.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
And,
like, even tonight, I saw a statement about, like, natural food and the FDA and whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, there's three claims in here that are demonstrably false.
Yeah.
What's the point of me bringing it up?
Yeah, yeah. So this guy, he basically, you know what he did say? He said that the way this guy phrased it was an overreaction to, like, people liking this. He goes, and the way that you responded was an overreaction.
No.
And I go, well, how about you commenting towards me? Isn't that an overreaction? If all I'm doing is making this comment about it and you're commenting against me, isn't that just as much of an overreaction? Right. And the guy threw me like a, you know, whatever, dude, I'm going to bed. Yeah. Like sometimes, like if this is all you have, blah, 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 this is a weird hill to die on. And I'm like, wait a minute. I was typing with my left hand on Facebook for 11 minutes. I'm not dying on a hill.
Right.
I'm like, if you played Candy Crush today or you scrolled through Instagram and didn't do anything productive, this means just as much as me commenting on this post.
Yeah.
But of course, this guy, who I have no idea who is, blocked me so that I couldn't respond to it before he did that. So I was like, what the fuck? And I was so mad. So I went and found him on another social media platform that I'm not friends with him on, and I blocked him on that.
Nice.
Yeah. High five, Brad. We both did our own high five.
That's so dumb.
No, that's funny.
What is this? What is this world coming to?
Yeah, that's funny. But anyway, I don't know. It just pissed me the fuck off. So what else? What do you got going on, Brad? Chuck and Brad news. Give me something.
We have shows coming up at Kismet Improv at Hope Artiste Village in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Shows start Friday, September 10th. I'm in shows on the 10th, the 11th, the 17th, and the 18th. And I'm very excited for the chance to perform some improv with my pals again. So more information at Kismet. That's K-I-S-M-E-T improv.com.
Yeah.
And I hope people who are local can make it out. What do you got going on? You got a lot going on. You just had a rock and roll all night and podcast every day episode come out through Tell 'em Steve Dave. I know that.
Yeah, my two newest things are if you go to the Tell 'em Steve Dave Patreon, patreon.com/TESD. We have a new episode of Rock and Roll Night and Podcast every day that's out that I directed and edited, and that just came out. And also the new Tuesdays with Stories episode 414, which is up for free on their YouTube. Tuesdays with Stories on nice. YouTube. I directed that as well. We shot that a couple weeks ago when I went up for Mark's Netflix special.
They're catching up to us numbers wise.
Oh yeah.
We're only 121 out. Yeah.
And we got, and we, you know, we have some stuff. I have the Netflix special with the Tuesdays coming up, and then we have another, Tell Them Steve Dave video next week, actually, which is unusual for me to do two in a row. But next week we're gonna have a new Tales from Behind the Fake Counter.
Oh, great!
So that's gonna be
a lot
good.
Of people like that.
Oh, people love that that series. So cool stuff, and yeah, man, lots of stuff going on. All right, so let's get into this. We both saw movies that the other person didn't see this week.
That's
and we're
going to
talk about them.
Yes, we
Mine
are.
Mine was a little bit more timely. You go first.
I will go first.
What'd you see?
I watched Wonder Woman 1984, WW84, the second standalone Wonder Woman film, also directed by, I believe, Patty Jenkins, starring Gal Gadot. Chris Pine was there. And I'd started to watch this several weeks ago and turned it off after about 10 minutes because the visual effects were so unappealing that I couldn't continue watching it. And I'm like, you know what? I got to get over this. You know, just I'll watch it for story or whatever.
Yeah.
And to kind of be a completionist and watch more of these DC Extended Universe films.
Yeah.
And to feel more woke.
Yes, of
course.
And
I'm supporting women-led cinema.
Yes.
And, you know, as a film, it was fine.
Yeah.
Not my favorite DC Universe film. Not my least favorite. So certainly capable. The story was, you know, kind of dumb.
I heard the movie was like pretty bad. Like definitely worse than Wonder Woman.
Worse than Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But not as bad as, you know,
Suicide Squad, the first one?
The first Suicide Squad or Justice League.
Right.
And again, visual, like the visual effects of her action sequences, just they never landed with me.
Yeah.
They never felt like they had the right amount of weight.
Yeah.
Not emotional weight, but it seemed like the laws of physics were being flaunted in an inconsistent way.
Yeah.
And again, it's a superhero movie. I realize physics mean nothing. She lassos herself to a missile being shot out of whatever shoots, a missile launcher on a truck.
Yeah.
And so she's being pulled at the velocity of this missile.
Yeah.
She unlassos it, goes off into the desert, blows up, and then swoops down and saves two children from a speeding truck. And I'm like, you know, she would be traveling almost as fast as that missile when she grabbed those children. And while her Amazonian / demigoddess bones might be able to handle it, I don't think the children will.
Yeah.
And it just looked bad.
Oh, yeah.
It made me sad. Then I was mad.
Yeah.
So
I gotcha.
Yeah, it was not my favorite watch. But again, the story itself, you know, maybe better than Thor: The Dark World, probably better than Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig as, you know, as her character before she transformed into the cheetah, great.
Yeah.
Love me some Kristen Wiig. And even her desire to become the cheetah, like, made sense in the context of the film.
Yeah.
But then her as the cheetah left a lot to be desired. Pedro Pascal, the Mandalorian, was you know, a businessman who was like fighting to save his business. He, you know, had some issues, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he was good.
Yeah.
And I had no problem with him. And then I felt guilty for being like, oh, well, the male actor was good. And I'm like, well, I'm going to woke jail for this. So it's overall, you know, if you're a completionist, watch it.
Yeah.
It was fine to have on kind of in the background. Again, you know, if she's in the water and she's covered in armor, have her sink just a little or like kick her legs to stay floating.
Is Kristen Wiig good in it? I love Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig is good.
Yeah.
Cheetah.
Yeah.
Less good.
Right.
And you know, like I recognize their fight scenes are heavily choreographed and heavily CGI. And
is she like a karate guy? Like what is, how is Kristen?
You know,
see, this is one of the things I was thinking about with this movie. Is like seeing Kristen Wiig be a villain that can beat up Wonder Woman is hard for me to picture.
I think their first fight scene, it was more Street Fighter. Like street fighting, not like Street Fighter. Like,
oh,
she was Blanca.
Damn.
I mean, Gal Gadot flipped upside down and did a helicopter kick.
You do one.
Oh, I will not.
Come on, there's a couple.
Tiger, uppercut.
That would be good for Cheetah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, Cheetah, uppercut. They're different animals.
That's right.
In any event. Yeah, it was, I don't know. The story was borrowed from Fantastic. Chris Pine, who, you know, I'm sorry to spoil the original Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Passed away sometime between World War One and 1984. And, you know, the MacGuffin of this film, of Wonder Woman 84, is a wish stone. So you can make a wish on the stone.
Yeah.
Your wish is granted.
Right.
Well, she wishes for Chris Pine to come back, and he somehow, quantum leap style, jumps into the body of this man.
Yeah.
And so when she looks at him, she sees Chris Pine. But when he looks in the mirror, he sees this Hallmark movie guy.
Right.
And a little weird,
yeah.
But again, no.
I saw some criticisms of that storyline. Yeah. They do something that's bad. I don't forget what it was.
They made love.
And what's the deal with that? How do you explain that?
I mean, she thought she was making, like, when she looked at the guy, she saw Chris Pine.
What about the other guy, though?
He just got to have sex with Wonder Woman.
Right. Well, that's so fine. I guess that's okay. Everyone wins then, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And the ghost of Chris Pine wins, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ghost jizz.
Yes. Disgusting.
That was the original subtitle for this movie.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know, man. I wish I had liked it more.
Yeah, I heard.
But I had really enjoyed the first Wonder Woman for the most part.
Yeah.
And this one felt like a letdown, you know, golden armor, wings. She basically, you know, one of the things as I was watching Justice League, I was like, man, like, she's Superman. She's invulnerable. She's blocking bullets. She's flying. She's floating. She's probably allergic to Krypton. I don't know. And like that transformation happens in Wonder Woman 84, where he's like, oh, you know, if you want to fly, you just got to like feel the wind and ride it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she like jumps up in the air and she's like, I feel the wind. I'm riding it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no.
Yeah.
But again, you know.
Yeah.
Finding logic. It's tough.
It is tough. It's tough because I think that sometimes in movies, you know, you want to like basically let things slide here and there, the suspension of disbelief. And I feel like there's some kind of formula to getting an audience to that point. And there has to be a certain amount of quality all around that to make those little flaws not feel important. But when there's other flaws or a lot of flaws, it's harder to feel that. It's harder to give on those small ones.
If you were like, you know what I want to do? I want to type out a new spreadsheet of, I don't know, favorite Halloween drinks.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's going to take me 2.5 hours to do it.
Halloween drinks? Like what? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Witch's tears.
Like, what are you really talking about? Ecto-cooler?
Yes. I was just thinking of spreadsheets you would make.
Ooh, okay. Let me think of some Halloween drinks.
Okay.
Well, pumpkin spice latte.
Yes, of course.
So you're
typing these into your spreadsheet and it's taking you 2.5 hours, if you had Wonder Woman on TV and your laptop on your lap, I would say that is an effective...
Yeah, way to watch Wonder Woman.
Yes.
What else we got? Apple cider.
Yes, of course.
Pumpkin spice latte, apple cider.
Hot chocolate, man.
Hot chocolate. It's a good drink, but that's like me saying that ice water is a Halloween drink.
There you go.
It has nothing to do with
it. It's your spreadsheet. You can put whatever drinks you want on there.
Ooh, you can make like a special hot chocolate for Halloween.
Okay.
Maybe pumpkin hot chocolate?
I guess you could.
But that's not, you know, that's not really fun. I did read an article today that Starbucks has a new macchiato that's supposed to be incredible. Mm. Apple crisp macchiato.
Interesting.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
You enjoyed Wonder Woman 84.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
I went to go see the movie Free Guy.
New movie starring Ryan Reynolds, PG-13. He lives in a video game or something.
And this is a movie that was filmed in Boston.
Oh, okay.
A few years ago. It should have come out earlier, but there was the Fox and Disney merger.
Ah, yes.
So it got pushed back and wrapped up in that, which is why they recently did a Deadpool trailer reaction video with Deadpool and Korg from Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
Deadpool being a Fox character, Korg being a Marvel/Disney character. I shouldn't say that Marvel bought Fox. Disney bought Fox.
Yeah.
They did that to promote the movie. And Taika Waititi, who plays Korg in Thor Ragnarok and directed Thor Ragnarok, is in this movie as the villain.
Okay.
And the kid who played, what's his name? Steve Harrington in Stranger Things is one of the protagonists in this as well. So, Free Guy. I was like, oh, this should be fine. I like Ryan Reynolds a lot. Lil Rel is in it.
Nice.
He was good.
Yep.
But I was like, oh, this will be fine.
Yeah, you went to see it the night we were supposed to be in the middle of a hurricane, and it was not hurricane-y here.
That's right. And Gina was like, let's go see it. And I was in, we're gonna close this podcast with a talk. But I was in bed all day.
Yep.
And I felt so shitty. And Gina's like, let's go to the movies. And I wanted to get out of the house and do something. And so we did. We went to go see the movie. And I gotta say, I thought it would be like, oh, this is fine, whatever. I thought it was awesome.
Really?
I thought it was great. I thought in terms of like, this is a PG-13 comedy.
Right.
You know, for like, I don't want to say for families, but it's PG-13. You know what I mean? It's not all, no holds barred. It's PG-13.
Yeah, there's some holds that are barred.
This is what I'll say. It's a PG-13 studio comedy. And in terms of that being the, you know, the cage around this.
Right.
And the, what's that? What word am I looking for?
Framework.
No, it's kind of whole. It's like these are the things.
Parameters.
Yeah, but what about if we were stuck in something and these are our limitations?
Quicksand.
Our limitations.
Okay.
But like, what is that? In terms of that, I don't know what it is. Taking these fucking antibiotics, they're making me slow. I know these antibiotics are making me slow. And we'll talk about the antibiotics at the end of the episode. I know they're slowing me down. I went to a gathering last night. And I was trying to be funny, and I couldn't be funny.
The gathering of the Juggalos?
No, I went to a gathering.
I was the least funny Juggalo there.
And I was so mad because I was quiet, and I couldn't think of things. And
sorry,
did you
see that Violent J has like heart disease? It's very sad.
I did see that. It is sad.
Sorry.
But I was at a gathering, and I said something really funny, and everyone had a big laugh, and they're all laughing.
Feels
like,
good.
And I said, like, I should have been like that the whole time, because it was like right at the end.
Yeah.
But in terms of that, you know, limitation, let's call it like a limitation. Okay. In terms of a PG-13 studio comedy.
Right.
I thought it was, I think that if they gave me and you the loose idea of a character in the background of a video game realizes he's in a video game.
Yep.
I don't think we or anybody could have made a funnier, better movie.
Wow. High praise.
I really think it was very well done as a PG-13 studio comedy. Like,
all right, what if character Brad is that character?
That would be hilarious.
Yes.
Because Ryan Reynolds is great no matter what, obviously. But it's not just guy realizes he's in a video game.
Right.
It's essentially like the real story is a developer came up with a game that's just about watching these characters, that's about artificial life.
Right.
And he came up with an AI for it.
Oh, okay.
And Taika Waititi as the bad guy stole that AI.
What a jerk.
And made it his, like, basically baseline to make, like, a Grand Theft Auto game.
Right.
And so, it's not just this person realizes he's in a video game. It is artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Coming to, like, life and realizing what he is. I think they killed it. I think that the video game references, is much like, you know, we were talking about recently, the all the IP mashup and pop culture mashup stuff on our podcast.
Yep.
They did a perfect job of, like, incorporating it into the world in the same way that Who Framed Roger Rabbit did.
Okay.
Without it being the crux of it. You know, they had a lot of stuff like the girl just had a portal gun from Portal, and that's just part of how they got around and stuff like that. They had a lot of video game reference stuff. But it was all secondary to the plot, and it didn't have anything to do with the plot. It was just like, this is what populates the world a little bit.
Right.
But man, they did a great, great job with it. I just thought it was really fun in the same way that I thought Lego Batman was fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was just really, really well done. And I liked the plot. I liked where they went. And I just had the whole time I was like, this, I'm invested. I think this is fun. Taika Waititi's a bad guy. And I think that's fun. Like Steve Harrington was really good. Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds. Everyone was good. The lead, I don't know the girl's name. She's in something though. Damn. I forget what you remember her name. Little Rel was good. And there was a bunch of side characters that were good and stuff like that. And little, you know, cameo stuff that was fun. But man, yeah, I really liked it. I can't recommend it enough. Honestly, if you appreciate that,
right?
If you're like, I love comedy and I want to hear about dicks and pussies and dicks and ass, then this isn't for you. But if you're like, I like big studio movies and like good like journeys through like, you know, ideas and stuff like this, it's a fun summer comedy. I kind of wish the name sucks.
Yeah.
Free Guy is the name.
Yeah.
Which sucks. And I think that the promotion suffered a lot because of the merger and how much it was pushed back.
Right.
But if this was like heavily, heavily pushed and pushed and there wasn't a COVID and all these different things, I think a lot of everyone who sees it, I think, in fact, let me look up the Rotten Tomatoes score. I want to see. I'm really interested to see how it's performing. Have you heard anything about it?
From you, I heard that it was good, and then I think financially it did better than expected, possibly.
Yeah, right.
Or worse than expected. I don't know. I'm all over the place. These antibiotics are killing me.
Ready for this?
Yes, I am.
Critic score is 81.
That's very good.
Audience score, what do you think?
82.
95.
Whoa, that's higher than 82.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's great.
It's pretty damn good. So I really enjoyed it. I really thought it was good. It was fun. You'll like it too.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it.
And I just realized too, we should do some emails.
We should, but before we do that, I have a bonus movie that I watched.
Oh, okay.
That you have likely never seen. This will be a very short review.
Yes. I actually saw something too I want to talk about, but I forgot.
So, when I was like 8 years old in third grade, one of my brother's friends showed me a scene from a movie called Up the Creek. And in this scene,
Up the Creek,
a woman is like, who are you going to cheer for? Something like this. This is how I remember it. Who are you going to cheer for?
Yeah.
And like nobody really says anything. And she's like, are you going to cheer for me now? And they don't really do anything. And then she rips her shirt open.
Your titties out.
And everybody goes crazy cheering for her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I
just saw that in Eurotrip.
Yeah.
I saw that clip from Eurotrip the other day on TV where she's like, it was weird because she's like, hello, we need someone to stop and give us a ride. And they're like, they're not going to stop for us here. And she goes, oh, I know how to stop them.
Yeah.
And she like flashes her bra.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really weird.
Yep.
Then she takes her boobs out.
Yep.
And they're like, you know, they see boobs all the time here. It's not a big deal. And then she takes her shirt off. Isn't that weird?
As though it's different. Yeah.
It's to show the boobs.
The boobs and shoulders at the same time.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I'm like, you know what?
Are her boobs actually out, or is it like from behind you see them?
No, these were actually out.
Wow.
Because this was 1983.
Wow.
And
I don't approve of that.
No, you shouldn't.
I'm just kidding.
And so I'm like, man, I don't remember anything about this movie except this one scene that I remember through some weird prepubescent haze.
You're the one cheering.
Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, let's watch it. It's on Paramount Plus.
You watched this movie? Up the Creek?
I was like, what's the boob count on this film?
Oh, God.
First of all, not as high as I remembered. Or as I thought it would have been.
Is it two?
Maybe six.
All right.
So
six and a half.
Tim Matheson, who was in Animal House, basically it's like a Porky's style like sex comedy, like raunchy. But it's like the four worst students at the worst university in the country have to go win a whitewater rafting race.
Mm.
Because the school has never won anything, never a trophy of any kind.
Yeah.
So the dean is like, if you win this race, if you get me a trophy, I'll make sure you all get degrees.
Yeah.
And the guys are like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Tim Matheson is like the cool guy, like the Chuck, if you will.
I don't know these characters. There's some 80s people that I'm like, I don't know who it is.
He played Van Wilder's father in Van Wilder.
Ooh, cool.
Then there's like the fat guy who loves to eat food.
Mm-hmm.
There's the alcoholic nerd guy who looks like Harold Ramis but isn't. And then there's like the horny guy.
Wow, alcoholic nerd.
Yeah.
That's an interesting, really interesting archetype.
It really is. So they
alco nerd.
So they're driving down the road and they're like, hey, fat guy, like you're more than just the fat guy. Like throw that food out the window. And he's eating like
they said that.
A giant hoagie and a banana split.
That's a great like set of fat guy food.
Well, all right. Well, there's a motorcycle behind them that wants to pass them.
Yeah.
So they're like, fat guy, throw the food out the window. And he's like, you know what? You're right. He throws it out the window, hits the motorcycle guy in the helmet, and motorcycle crashes.
Okay.
And you're like, is that guy going to come back? No, he is not.
I thought it was going to be the start of a confrontation.
No, just one visual gag.
Was it funny?
You know what? I laughed hysterically.
Did you?
No. Then they go to a gas station.
I love them making this movie.
Yes.
You're freaking out over every part.
They go to a gas, the guy who's running the thing, he's like teaming with the guys from Ivy University to make sure they win.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you can go ahead and cheat and my referees will disqualify anyone else and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they have this clandestine meeting in the woods. They go, they fill up with gas.
Yeah.
They like end up stealing from the rich guys. Mm-hmm. They meet the girls, the love interest.
Yeah.
Character named Heather Merriweather, and she like breaks up with her boyfriend because he was in his RV with women with boobs.
Their boobs were out.
The boobs were out.
And what was he doing?
They're just playing grab ass inside the RV, and she's like, wait, and she like got locked out of the RV, and he came and like picked her up and carried her back in.
Oh, geez.
Just as his girlfriend drove up.
No, unclear
what school the girlfriend is from.
You're right.
So that night they go to the bar. Tim Matheson and the girl meet up, and she's like, let's have sex, and they do. They just they go to her room. They make love.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rich guy doesn't like that, and chases. Yeah. Then the next day the race starts, there's shenanigans. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Again, not as many boobs as I would have thought.
Yes.
But like such a dumb.
Yeah.
Like 1980s. So like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I watched the whole thing. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? It's one of those where it's like the controller's a little too far away to reach comfortably. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I guess I'll just... Yes.
That's hilarious.
It was so weird.
That's hilarious.
Just such a weird film. I'm like, what about the other... Because I remember him showing me that scene, which probably influenced my sexuality more than I would care to admit. There's a skiing movie called Hot Dog the Movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
You should watch that. We should watch these movies and do a commentary like as we watch them.
Yeah.
And put it on Vimeo. I think we can get away with it. Just putting it on Vimeo.
I would absolutely do that.
I would love to do it.
Oh my gosh. It was so bizarre. And I'm like, there's no way Chuck has seen this film. There's no way Chuck has heard of this film.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
This is an interesting question. How similar was the first third to a Friday the 13th movie?
Oh.
See?
Pretty similar. Yeah.
Right? Isn't this interesting? They get the high school kids,
yep.
The fat, the nerd, the girl, the guy. And then they're just partying and they want to smoke pot and they want to see a tit.
I think if it had been a co-ed group from the start, it would have felt just like the Friday the 13th. But basically, they picked up the girl at the gas station.
Right. Friday the 13th sounds like they would pick up a girl at a gas station.
Yeah, well, definitely. There was no harbinger.
Right.
Saying, you know, don't go participate in that race.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's so weird. You know what? There were more than six boobs because there was a scene where like... The rich guys and the guy who runs the race were in a hot tub, and then three women surfaced.
Yes.
And like as they clambered out, you saw their boobs, but that was about it.
Right.
It was, you know, it's very dumb.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And I'm like, I'm too old for this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I was eight, this was like the height of eroticism. But just as I am no longer eight. Bizarre.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. All right, emails.
Oh yeah, emails. Let's get to some emails. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. First email. We talked about Arcade 1-Up last week.
Yes.
This subject line is Arcade 1-Up. Then it has a little arrow pointing right to RetroPie.
Oh.
So maybe this guy is talking to me about my Arcade 1-Up thing. I got So for people that don't know, I got an Arcade 1-Up. Like replica, it's like an arcade machine, and this is for Street Fighter. And I'm dealing with the fact that my mom got it for my birthday. I love my mom, so thoughtful. I don't really like Street Fighter. I'm wondering if I can kind of switch it out. What can I do for a different arcade machine? But here's what the guy says. His name is Eric. Hey Chuck, big fan of the podcast.
Thank you.
I lived in Warren, the town we live in.
Wow.
For about 15 years and just moved to Barrington.
What the heck?
Barrington is the next town over. You're the only local podcast I listen to, and it's cool to hear local places name checked. I'm a writer, and I'm certain we've both been writing at the Coffee Depot at the same time.
Whoa.
Wow. The Coffee Depot is a coffee shop near my house. This is getting a little Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm writing about your Arcade 1-Up conundrum. I don't have a solution to that exactly, but as a retro gaming fan, I know exactly what you need. A similar-looking arcade cabinet that plays every game ever made.
That's correct.
Now, he's right. Now, by the way, he wrote every game ever made in bold and italics.
Whoa!
So he's serious.
Yeah.
A while back, I bought a Raspberry Pi computer and loaded software on it that turned it into an emulator that could play almost any kind of game, NES, SNES, Sega Genesis, Game Boy, etc. I plugged into the TV through HDMI and used a controller similar to the SNES ones. I recently found out that there are companies that make arcade cabinets for these emulators. There are a bunch on Etsy. Depending on the price, some do it all and deliver it ready to use, and others require that you add your own monitor and emulator. But the takeaway is the same. You get a cabinet that looks like your Arcade 1-Up cabinet, but can play every game ever made. I'm planning on putting one of these together within the next few months. If it works out, I'd be happy to show it to you or help you get one built up.
Wow. Sounds like you're going to end up dead in his basement.
Wow. That's it. Keep up the great work in the podcast, Eric. Woo! Thanks, Eric. That sounds amazing. I mean, I know. So here's what I know. I was looking into RetroPies a while ago.
Yes.
This is when my buddy Ray Harrington coincidentally was like, you got to get an NVIDIA shield. I use my NVIDIA shield every day. I stick it in my ass. I put it in my dick.
I shave with it.
Yeah. And after. I was like, Ray, it's not going to work if you shave with it. The other stuff, totally fine.
Yeah.
And he was like, you got to get an NVIDIA shield. And what that is an Android streaming box that has like every, you know, streaming app on it.
Yeah.
Netflix, YouTube, YouTube TV, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Paramount Plus, HBO Max, Disney Plus.
Keep naming them.
Then we have another one. I think we have another one.
Is it Crunchyroll?
Peacock TVs.
Yeah, we do.
You know, Crunchyrolls. What else we got, Brad?
Is there a Fubo TV?
You know what? No Crackle.
Ah, okay.
Anyway, so he said Ray
weird,
was
weird reference.
Ray was pushing. Get this thing. Get this NVIDIA shield. And I was like, geez, chill out. What, do you stick this thing in your ass? And so, yeah, I was looking into RetroPies at this time, which are, like Eric just explained, these mini consoles, essentially, that do everything. And someone was like, RetroPies are great. You can do all these different things. He's like, but if you get an NVIDIA shield,
wow,
it has a faster processor than the RetroPies, and you can. It's easier to play N64 games, PS1, stuff like that. And here's the weird thing. At the time, I had bought something from Best Buy, and they gave me a $100 Best Buy Reward Zone credit.
Yes.
And the NVIDIA Shield was on sale. I bought the NVIDIA Shield.
Right.
So I have the equivalent of a RetroPie. The NVIDIA Shield is very, very small. It's about the size of a portable hard drive.
Right.
And we use that for a lot of the video game stuff. To be completely honest, the Xbox One, for some reason, RetroArch, the emulation, you know, app, was made available on the Xbox One in the official store.
Right.
So now I actually use my Xbox, and I also modded my Switch for it. And so I do that stuff, and I use it there. I use my my emulation needs there. But I'm very familiar with a RetroPie and the idea of a RetroPie and kind of using it. And that's kind of what I figured would happen is you kind of figure out some sort of RetroPie situation for an arcade machine. But I don't know. I guess I didn't know I don't really know what's in the back of an arcade machine.
Right.
I guess I was thinking more of retro, you know, the arcade one-up machines.
Yeah.
And Eric is talking about kind of buying pieces of wood that people build to assemble one, and then you put your own monitor in, you put everything in.
Right.
I love this idea. You know what? Me and Eric are going to stay in contact. I want to see how his goes, and we'll see what we think about
it. Right.
Because it'd be cool to get. The only thing is, I would love for mine to look like a Turtles cabinet a Simpsons cabinet. Yeah, yeah. I got to be honest with you. The one my mom got me, I think it is kind of superior to the standalone cabinets.
Okay.
For my own personal amount of space that I have.
Yes.
If you have the space for it, that's awesome.
Cabinet away, yeah.
But for me, this one that can be hung on studs on a wall or put on a desk and put away or whatever, that would be awesome. The only problem is, you know, the one that I have, it only has room for one joystick.
Right.
So I would obviously, I wouldn't play it by myself probably. I'd want at least two joysticks.
Yeah.
Hopefully four. But me and Eric are going to stay in contact. I want to see how his goes.
I'm gonna cut in front of Eric at the Barrington Shaw's.
Yeah.
The grocery store.
Let's talk. We'll talk to Eric. Maybe we'll have him on the podcast someday.
Who knows?
He seems a great guy. I want to know about his deal. I'm going to say this here and now, and I'm going to admit it. I feel like Eric has written before, and we never got around to his email.
Whoa.
Oh, God. I'm going to look. Oh, I don't see one. Okay. I just wrote Eric. I just wrote his name in. All right, good. Thank God. But his name seems really familiar in terms of reaching out to the podcast, and I feel like for some reason I did a bad job of contacting, reaching back out. I think in my head it's something like, hey, I want to come on the podcast and talk about something I wrote. So maybe it's someone else. I don't know. But Eric, thank you for writing in. I appreciate it. We'll definitely stay in contact. All right, let's see. From Diana. Oh, boy. I don't like this at all. Last week, we opened the podcast by talking about the fact that I was like, oh, man, Nerf guns are cool.
Yes.
God, I sound like such a child. Arcade games and Nerf guns. Nerf guns are cool. I found some, like not so much that Nerf guns are cool every day, all day long. I'm always shooting Nerf guns. That's not me, guys. Right. I just want to make that clear. I went to Savers, the secondhand donation store. What is it called?
I have no idea.
And they had these really big, crazy Nerf guns that are worth like $75 for like $10. So I bought a couple of them. And I think that's fun, and I'm going to shoot Brad with him.
I put safety goggles on just for this conversation.
And Brad countered with me, like, he's like, you know, my friend got hit in the cornea, blah, 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 blah. And he's like talking about all the dangers of Nerf guns. That's how he responded to
that
my
fun
idea.
That was the one danger I talked about.
This is from Diana. Just got this email.
Okay.
The subject line is, wear safety glasses.
Whoa, Diana.
I don't like this. Diana. Go to hell, Diana.
We're going
to
have you on the podcast.
Hey there. A couple years ago, my boyfriend came home with two Nerf guns.
Wait, she's got a boyfriend? Nope.
And proceeded
not on the podcast
to ambush me when I came home from work one
not
night.
Not cool.
Very cool. That sounds like a cool boyfriend. You know what?
It does.
I hope you gave him a little, you know, sugar.
Well, let's find out what happens after the ambush.
What if she gave him some brown sugar?
No.
Wait, oh, you took that in a different direction than I meant. I'm pretty sure I'm about the same age as Brad for context.
Ancient.
I meant... like she was like maybe a Latina, like a, that's what I meant. What did you mean?
That was what I meant as well.
No, it's not. You're sick. You turned into something gross. The Nerf guns were, she wrote, the Nerf guns were ... handgun type with a question mark.
Okay.
She's just describing them.
Right.
And the darts came out with much more force than I would have thought. As mature couples like us do, we ended up having a Nerf gun fight around our house, which ended with what I would call a duel. After taking our three paces, we turn around to shoot at each other. And since I am generally accident prone when it comes to games or sports, I ended up with a foam dart in my eye.
Whoa, no, Diana.
It felt like getting punched in the eye, or so I imagine. Over the next few days, I started to notice what I would describe as a light that resembled a falling star in my peripheral vision. And it was happening often. After searching this on Google, I was convinced that my retina was detaching and I was going to need surgery. So I made an appointment at the optometrist.
Good.
When I had the appointment, I explained to the doctor that I had been hit in the eye with a Nerf gun dart. He then said, oh, you must have kids, to which my response was a simple, nope. And I left it at that and didn't elaborate any further. The look in his face was priceless. Complete confusion as to why an adult would have this happen. I didn't feel the need to explain myself any further.
I'm with the optometrist on this one.
The rest of the appointment was terrible. He poked and prodded my eye, and then I ended up with the test where your pupil is dilated, and I had to return to my professional job with one eye dilated, the other normal for a few days. Thankfully, there was nothing wrong with my eye, but lesson learned. Safety glasses, or at least sunglasses. Better than a detached retina or a fake eyeball with a million exclamation points. Feel free to share that if you like. I just wanted to say that I really enjoy your podcast. You're both very genuine and it is refreshing. A couple of side notes from older episodes.
Uh-oh.
Brad.
We're getting canceled.
Your awkward date. It wasn't you. There's so many flaky, snotty, crazy women out there that it gives the rest of us a bad reputation. That woman clearly was not worth your time. I can also relate to your job issues. My job is in relation to facilities, and right now it's nasty.
Yep.
It's exhausting.
Yes.
Chuck, thank you for sharing when you're not having the best of times. We all have days when we are low, and yet no one talks about it. It helps to hear.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Yep.
Lastly, I have a suggestion for your Halloween viewing.
Uh-oh.
As a TESD aunt, a fan of Tell 'em Steve Dave,
yep.
My recommendation is a crossover event to review the Phantasm series. I think there's only three of them, but I think there'd be some great conversation. Just a thought. Anyways, thanks again for your podcast, Diana. Wow, that's a great email. What a thoughtful email. Thank you, Diana. I'm not sure I like you supporting Brad in
the safety glasses.
In the fun versus safety debate.
Yep.
But great email nonetheless.
I'll say this. Thinking about just relationships in general, when she's like, Nerf, and the idea of it being a duel, I think that I am such... a wimpy shrimp in relationships.
Oh, yeah, shrimpy wimp, some would say.
Some would.
Yeah.
That I would not, you know, I'd shoot her in the foot or something on a duel. I don't know that I...
You wouldn't shoot me in the face, though.
I wouldn't shoot you in the face, but I'd shoot for center mass.
Oh, really?
But on a
you wouldn't shoot a girl in, like, a shirt?
I don't know. It's just because of the relationship. I don't know.
What do you mean? What is that supposed to mean?
That I'm like, oh, she's my precious angel. I must protect her forever.
She can't Nerf gun can't hit her torso? Yes.
Hit Diana's eye.
This guy was borderline abusive in my eyes.
You said he sounded like a cool guy.
Well, I mean, you know.
Are you saying you wouldn't ambush Gina?
I would ambush her, yeah.
All right, then.
I wouldn't shoot her in the face, though.
Okay.
She'd be mad.
What if she tries to duck for some reason?
Yeah, then it hits you in the eye behind her.
Ah!
Yeah, right. But thank you, Diana. I guess we'll think about the safety goggles. What the heck? Appreciate it. So this is from a guy named Bruce. Hey, guys. My name is Bruce. I'm a TESD Town History crossover.
Nice.
A fan of the Tell 'em Steve Dave podcast that we did. and I've really enjoyed the podcast ever since. Love the improv and banter you guys have with each other. I'm usually behind, but managed to catch up by banging out two or three in a row. Just listened to the August 13th show and figured I could help settle whether or not Brad is a monstrous freak and should be chased out with torches and pitchforks.
Oh, boy.
Arm length.
Ah, yes.
Is relative
to... I was like, what the
hell did I do?
Which thing?
Arm length is relative to height. So if Brad is 6 feet tall, he's not. He's a little bit shorter than me. He's 5'10", 3/4". His wingspan should be 6 feet. So whatever your height is, that should be your wingspan.
All right. As far as the Chuck versus Brad height debate, one of us has his hair swooped up into a scoop. Yeah. A 6-inch spike, Jimmy Neutron style on his head.
Yeah, but you wear pumps.
Well...
Measure from tip to middle finger to tip of middle finger across the back, because Brad's massive chest will throw it off otherwise. Laughing face. Hope this helps. Hope this helps out, Brad. But if it doesn't, good material for Chuck. So at least one of you wins, right?
Yep.
Keep up the great and hard work, both of you. The pod really brightens my day. From Bruce. P.S. Side note to Chuck: on the odd chance you ever find yourself needing a free juggler for any TESD project or anything else, hit me up.
Oh, like a.
Yeah,
bowling pin and chainsaw juggler?
I think so. I wouldn't expect chainsaws, but, you know, maybe.
Hey, wear safety goggles when you juggle those chainsaws, Bruce.
Just throwing that out there. I'm at Stereoscopic on Instagram and TikTok if you want to see what I can do. Not the greatest, but free is free, right? Haha, thanks.
Don't sell yourself short.
And that's at Stereoscopic, but stereo is spelled S-T-E-R-I-O.
Ah, okay.
S-C-O-P-I-C. Thank you very much, Bruce. That's a really nice email as well.
I don't know how to juggle.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been
here. I can't juggle.
They're like, oh, you need to start with two things in one hand and just do that. I'm like, all right, I can do that. And they're like, now add a third. And then, like, you know, I have to put on my safety goggles because I'm throwing a chainsaw in my eye at that
point. Exactly. You shouldn't start with chainsaws. I keep telling you. All right. From Karen. Hey, Chuck and Brad, I just listened to your recap of your Dark Knight live show.
Oh,
I wanted to tell you that I was there,
thanks,
and it
Karen.
Was hysterical.
Oh, whew.
I brought a friend that was not familiar with your podcast and had no idea what to expect. We were both crying with laughter. The drawing, the writing, Chuck giggling in the corner, so damn funny. Please, Capital, do more live shows, and please have some merch for sale soon. Also, I have a teenager that is a big fan of yours, and he was so jealous that he couldn't come to the show. We are really hoping you release the video of the show. Thanks for all the laughs, Karen. First things first. If you're coming to one of our shows and you have someone who is underage, contact me, you know, at Discount Chuck on Instagram and Twitter, or message us on Facebook or email us. If we're doing our Sunday night shows at the Comedy Connection, I think that they can be all ages. Like last time someone reached out to me and they were like, oh, I wish my son could come to this. He's 15 or whatever.
Right.
And I reached out to the owners and they were like, yeah, that's totally fine.
Ooh, all right. Because I had somebody that we had to turn away because they had a 16-year-old with them.
You mean you had somebody?
Like somebody was at the door.
And you turned them away?
I didn't turn them away. The connection turned them away.
No.
Yes. So
really?
Talk to us well in advance and we'll get some clarity on this matter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I texted, I wonder how our guy got in then.
I'm also curious.
See, the thing is, you know, the shows are 21 plus because of all the weekend shows and the late shows and the alcohol, right? But they also do like a ton of events at the Connection. I know that the website says 21 plus across the board, but they host like award show nights and different things. I'm sure if, you know, let's say, for example, the Motif Music Awards, which is a publication I work for in Rhode Island, and an award show that they just held the other day. I'm sure if the Comedy Connection came up as an appropriate venue for them and they wanted to do it there, they would just be all ages.
Right.
So I think it would be the same for us if we just asked ahead of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let us know, Karen. We really appreciate it. The guy that's designing our shirts just sent us a version of them. I think they look great. Brad thinks he doesn't look like himself.
That's correct.
We're going to figure this out. But I think the shirts are going to be...
Arms were way too short.
We're going to figure this out. And, okay, we want to do more live shows. I'll just say it. I don't give a fuck.
Wow.
We're hoping to do a live Halloween show on October 31st at the Comedy Connection.
What demon will we summon? We're not sure yet.
Yes. And it's a Sunday night. So that's fun because I think adults are like, well, I'm not going to go out and go crazy and party all night. So a show that takes place from like 7:30 to like 9:30 or whatever, I think that's really appropriate, especially a comedy show. And it's also hard to find stuff to do as an adult for Halloween.
Yeah.
I think it would be great. We got to reach out to the Connection, see if we can set that up. I hope it can happen. And final thing, live show. Oh, so many people have asked me. I feel so guilty about it. I'm going to get an editor on it. and we're going to put it together, and maybe we'll find a way to get it to the people who want to see it. We're not going to put it in public, but if you want to see it, I want to make sure you're able to see it. So I'm going to get on that. Thank you very much, Karen. Appreciate it very, very much that you came out. Let's see. You want to hold some more? Want to hold the emails?
Yeah, I think we'll hold
move
there.
On. Thank you for everyone for writing us. ChuckandBrad@gmail.com. Actually, let's read this last one.
Okay.
There's a few more emails, but we should read this one because it's funny. From our buddy Lou Perella in Texas.
Good.
Very frequent guest of the podcast. He's been on a million times.
Yep.
He wrote, "Would you turds be okay if a Spider-Man trailer did not come out before the movie? I've been thinking about the idea of going to movies blind and potentially enjoying them more. Chuck, please explain our disappointment with Spider-Man 3. Hugs and kisses, Lou." Okay. Let's talk about this. A, the Spider-Man trailer came out. We're going to talk about it.
Yes.
B, Brad and I have talked about it on the podcast many times. Like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if there were like a new movie from Steven Spielberg, the menthol cough drop. And that's it. And it was just all black and just the text. He has a new movie,
nice,
random
nice
name.
Nice usual suspects moment for you there.
What was it?
You're like, the menthol cough drop. You're just looking around.
Yeah. That would be like, I think me and Brad both agree, it would be amazing for that, and it would be so fun to go see that movie.
Yes.
Side story. So anyway, my answer is, I'd love if that happened. I love if they said, you know what? Next Avengers movie, or whatever, Spider-Man, could be anything. No trailer. Here's the name. Here's the day. Come see it. Second thing. A long time ago, when my friend Tom worked at Strawberries in Seekonk, Massachusetts, he would get free tickets to like pre-screenings, and he got a couple of like passes for The Ring. You know the movie with Naomi Watts?
I'm familiar.
Is it Naomi Watts? No. Yes.
Yeah.
Then they changed the release date of The Ring, so there was no trailers. So he's like, "You want to go see The Ring?" And I was like, "I don't know. What is it?" And he's like, "I don't know. It's a free movie. You want to go see it?" And I was like, "I guess so." And I thought it would be a romantic comedy about getting married.
Makes sense.
And I went to go see The Ring, and it spooked my testicles off my body. And I was like, "Ah!" I was so much more spooked by it. Imagine going into a movie and you don't even know what it's supposed to be. Like if you were watching the hot dog movie. No, what's it called? Meriwether's?
Up the Creek.
If you were watching Up the Creek and you didn't know if it was a Friday the 13th or a comedy, everything takes you by surprise so much. So I love that idea.
Once the girl shows her boobs and doesn't immediately get impaled by a machete, I figured out what it is.
No, usually the girl does a boob show and then it's, you know, it's just a flash. And then later on, there's a bigger boob show and then the person gets killed.
Okay.
I don't know. So I'd love that, but the movie's out. His thing about Spider-Man 3 was that, and it's funny because Lou has a better memory of this than I do, that we looked up the plot on Wikipedia before he went to go see it. And we could not believe that Venom came from an asteroid and all these different things. Sandman and all these different things. And we were like, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. And we went to go see it and it was exactly right. And we were very disappointed.
Yes.
And also fourth story or fourth answer, Jackass 3D. They showed so much of it through trailers and also late night appearances. And I'm such a big fan of Jackass that I watched all of it. And I went to the movies and I felt like I saw so much of it, you know? I think the less you see, the better. I think a good rule would be watch the first trailer and that's it. And I did hear, cause Shang-Chi has been screened for critics.
Yes.
The critic I saw said, here's what he said. He goes, if you don't think that they can hide, you know, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield from Spider-Man all the way up to the release, you are 100% wrong, and my proof is Shang-Chi.
Wow.
The finale of that movie was not even hinted at in any of the trailers.
Wow.
It completely surprised
me. I can't believe Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield show up in Shang-Chi.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Chi.
Yeah.
All right, let's move forward. What do we got?
I just real quick. The idea, like, if they were like the next story in the Star Wars saga, and they're like, Star Wars, the menthol cough drop.
Yes.
And, you know, give me a 30-second teaser.
Yeah.
And I'm on board. I probably don't need it.
Right.
But the idea of going to see this movie from this franchise that, you know, mostly has my trust or at least my interest.
Right. Yes. So when did we pause the podcast? 5 minutes in?
Yeah, 4 minutes and 55 seconds.
We had to pause it for me to take a phone call. I'm just trying to keep track of how long, because we paused for like 11 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're probably at around 56 minutes right now. That's fine. So
speaking of trailers, is that what we're doing?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we should go into Spider-Man, I guess. It makes more sense, but yeah, let's go into Spider-Man.
Right.
So as everybody knows, you know, the third Spider-Man movie is coming out, No Way Home. And it's been rumored for a long time that this Spider-Man movie, which is taking place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
right,
as movie number 26.
Sure.
Let's see, 23.
I lost count at 4.
I think was Endgame 23?
Yeah, I think so.
So 24 was Spider-Man 2, 25 was Black Widow, 26 is Shang-Chi, 27 is
Doctor Strange.
No, Eternals.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
And then 28 is Spider-Man
Judas
3.
Judas Priest.
Right?
Yep.
So the rumors have been, well, A, Jamie Foxx said he's coming back as Electro. Alfred Molina said he's coming back as Dr. Octopus. And those are two villains from different
Spider-Man 2s.
Yeah, different iterations of Spider-Man. One, you know, Alfred Molina is Dr. Octopus from the original Spider-Man trilogy that started in like 1999 or 2000 with Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. And Electro is from the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man series.
Yes.
So the fact that they're coming in was like so interesting. It's like, well, what are they going to do? What is the plan? Then there was rumors that, obviously there's rumors that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are also in it. And that Tom Holland, our current Spider-Man, will open up the multiverse and see the other Spider-Man. But it's unconfirmed, obviously.
Right.
And everyone has been clamoring for a trailer. We're going crazy for this fucking trailer. We're like, give me a trailer. You know that video of Eric Andre that's used as a meme of him saying, like, let us in. Like, yeah. That's what we were saying about give us a trailer. And, man, this weekend, a trailer leaked that was filmed on a phone, filming a television.
Right.
And it was very hard to see and hard to hear. And then I was like, Sony is releasing this in the next day. And there was also like a Sony event the next night, and they might have already been planning on releasing it anyway. Right. But they did drop the trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. And, you know, it starts with Spider-Man. His identity is out there because of the villain of the last movie. I revealed it. And he goes to Doctor Strange and he says, I want to erase people's memories. Doctor Strange does it. There's a problem with it. And it opens up the multiverse. And at the end, you hear Willem Dafoe's laugh as the Green Goblin.
Yep.
You see the pumpkin bomb, and it's the exact pumpkin bomb from the original trilogy.
Right.
And then you see Dr. Octopus. Hello, Peter. And that's the Spider-Man trailer. And holy shit. Did you get goosebumps?
I did. I was very excited for it. Yeah. It looks great.
Yes.
But of course it looks great.
Yes.
You know, this
so good.
I didn't need a trailer to sell me to get my interest peaked for the movie.
Yes.
You know, I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be a good film. But man, 4 months seems like such a long time to wait.
Yes. I know, that's okay. But it was good.
I'm sorry, just real quick. Did you see the thing where the date it was released was the date from WandaVision, episode one of WandaVision, where it's like August 23rd.
Yeah. Do you think it was planned? I don't think it was.
I think it was a coincidence.
I think it was a coincidence, yeah. But who knows? Yeah, I think it looks awesome. I mean, I don't know. I feel like when Avengers came out, Endgame, I think the trailer was at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So it was probably 3 months, right? As opposed to four. But that's fine. I think that they're going to build this up really big. And I think that when Spider-Man comes out, if they go in the direction of actually bringing in characters from the other movies
right.
and acknowledging their different universes or whatever, I think it's such a step for them that it's going to be huge. It's going to be such a big deal that, you know, it's exciting.
Bring in Spider-Ham and I'm okay.
To me, if they do this, they can bring in like Lou Ferrigno. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe not as a main character. I mean, just
not,
like
not as Spider-Man.
Not as Spider-Man, as the Hulk from the 60s.
Yeah.
But I was very psyched. Another trailer that came out was a new trailer for the upcoming video game Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Yes, introducing a new playable character.
April O'Neil, baby.
Yeah, you can.
You know what? I think it might hint at the fact that there's going to be more playable characters.
I hope so.
Casey Jones, what are we talking about? Usagi Yojimbo? Woo!
You tried to name 100 Ninja Turtles characters on the podcast before.
Yeah, yes, Toka, Razor.
87 Mousers, I think.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, it's a new side-scrolling beat 'em up, which is like, you know, Turtles in Time is like my favorite game ever. Maybe. Not my favorite game ever, but my favorite multiplayer game ever, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, it's a new Turtles beat 'em up, which is very exciting.
Yes.
And then also today, finally, a new Saints Row game was announced. Saints Row is like one of my favorite series. It's the series that got me into current gen gaming. And I don't mean current gen now. I mean current gen in 2006.
Yeah.
When did Saints Row 2 come out?
You know what? I remember probably 2007, 2008. I remember playing Insurance Fraud when,
well,
when
I played
my
the first
Casey
Saints Row.
Lived on Peckham Avenue. I did not play the first Saints Row. I still haven't.
Oh, really?
Still haven't.
Well, it's hard to go back.
Right.
But Saints Row is like, it's like Grand Theft Auto, but it's way wackier and way sillier and way more fun.
You know, you have a dubstep gun
in
some of the games.
And over the past,
dildo bat.
And over the past, you know, over the course of probably, I don't know when the last one came out, which was Get Out of Hell. Let's call it 2016.
Sure.
Or 2015. You know, they just kind of, they came out every once in a while. There was four different base games as well as a ton of expandable like DLC and stuff like that. And I love it. Some of my favorite stuff in video games. I love the concept. I love the direction. And they're rebooting the entire series. And the what do you think about the trailer? It looks awesome to me.
It does. No gameplay was shown, but you know.
Did you watch the gameplay video?
I did not know there was a gameplay video. I just watched the trailer.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
And the setting that's kind of like a current West is so cool. So I'm very excited for Saints Row. I love that. Yeah.
They're just fun games to play.
Yeah. And they're, you know, it's like I said, it's like Grand Theft Auto, but they'll make it fun. Like there was one where you're in a spaceship and you're flying out of this thing and it's just like Star Fox and they even have like do a barrel roll when they're playing the song from Night at the Roxbury the whole time.
Right.
Like that's the kind of tone. They're referencing this thing, they're referencing this thing, and it's all about fun. And it's like Grand Theft Auto, but like way more like let's just have fun.
Yeah.
And I love them. So that's cool. And I think, I did want to say I watched, there's a new series on Netflix called Untold.
Okay.
Holy shit. Do you know about it?
I don't know anything about it.
Malice at the Palace?
No. All right. I know Malice at the Palace.
It's a documentary.
I didn't know that's part of the series. Malice at the Palace, for those of you who don't know, there was a big fight in an NBA game where the players went into the stands and fought some fans who, you know, quite frankly deserved it. And it was, you know, a watershed moment for the NBA. In it would have been late 2004, early 2005, maybe. Mm-hmm. And just a big deal. And so now there is a documentary about it that is apparently part of this series called Untold on Netflix.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
It's basically sports documentaries that are like super, super well put together with the people that were part of them, obviously. And holy hell, like the Malice at the Palace documentary, which I think is episode one, it was so amazing. I love the way they filmed it. They were so, they made it so fun the way that they decided to actually portray the original footage. And the guys are like sad. What's his name? The main guy, Ron Artest?
Yeah.
Is it Artest or Artest?
Artest, A-R-T-E-S-T.
Artest.
Changed his name to Meta World Peace at one point. I don't know if he changed
it back. There's something wrong with that guy.
Yes.
And what's the deal? They just didn't care? He's just a good basketball player?
That's correct, yes.
It's crazy. And so basically, it's like they had one guy on the team. I don't know. I wish I knew their names. They had one guy on the team that was just like a super, like, you know, he practices super hard and he's great at basketball, right? Then they brought in Ron Artest. And Ron Artest is kind of a nut, but he's really good.
Yep.
Then they brought in a second nut.
Yep.
And that was like the three people that were involved in the whole thing, plus Reggie Miller on the team. And the whole thing is about this night where these fight with the fans. And man, they just did it so well. I was so invested. I love it. If you like documentaries, doesn't matter if you like sports, go watch this Untold on Netflix, Malice at the Palace. It's going to hook you so good. Oh, it was so good. Watching Val and then watching Malice at the Palace, I was like, Jesus.
Fell in love with documentaries again, yeah.
Well, remember how we were talking about there's so many good documentaries now, and it's just the rule? These two were like rose above to me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's great.
It was so good, yeah. All right, final thing. I'm telling you the story for the first time.
Thank goodness.
Okay. Backstory.
You were hanging out with Ron Artest.
In February, one day I was driving and I got a really weird feeling in my side and it really, really hurt really bad. And it was just getting more and more intense, like something was expanding or something.
Okay.
And it hurt. I was like, I got to go to the Bristol Medical Center because I went to the Barrington Medical Center, which is near my house, and it was closed, even though online it says it was open.
I blame Eric.
Started driving and it was getting worse and worse. And it was this weird pain. And I've heard about people's appendix bursting different things. And Jordan, my roommate, my longtime friend, had his gallbladder out.
Yes.
I was driving and it hurt so bad that I had to get out of my car and pull over. It hurt so much. I couldn't even sit. And I was like, should I call an ambulance? And I kept thinking about how much does that cost? I have no idea.
Right.
So I got back in my car. I drove and I was like, this is like, you know, it's February. It's pre-vaccine.
Right.
I have the mask on. I'm in the medical center and I'm like pacing and like, because of the pain.
Right.
Just because of the pain. It was so bad. Explained it. Talked to a doctor. The pain just started subsiding. Going away. And it just went away.
Okay.
While I was in the medical center. Yeah. And they were like, we think this was muscular. And I was like, there was something I did that week that was weird, but not that weird.
Right.
And they were like, it might have been muscular. Here's a muscle relaxer. And they gave it to me and I was like, okay. And it just kind of, you know, like I said, it just went away, whatever. Months later, this is in like maybe July or June. It was July, right before I went to Smod Castle.
Okay.
You remember?
Yes, I do.
Like the night before I was supposed to leave, like again, I had a similar thing, but it was even more defined and in front, like right under my left rib. And it felt like it was like expanding and it hurt a lot. And I was like, Jesus Christ. And so I went to the emergency room. Man, it's weird. My mind is, oh yeah. So I went to the medical center, same one. They said, it might be a gallbladder. Go get an ultrasound. I went to Newport Hospital. They gave me an ultrasound. They're like, your gallbladder is fine. They looked at all my organs. They're like, all your levels of everything are fine. You know, my blood, my pee, everything, my butt. And
good butt level.
They said my butt level, I mean, it's not great.
It's not.
But as expected.
Yes.
When they saw me walk in. And so basically, they were like, we think that this was some kind of infection in your stomach because your white blood cell count is really high.
Yes.
Right?
To fight off the infection.
Right. And they didn't give me anything for it.
Right.
Okay. The other day, I was having for a couple days, which is similar to the other time, the time before this, I was getting pressure in my abdomen again, but this time it was on my right side.
Okay.
I think, or maybe last time it was on my right side, and this time it was on my left side. Either way, right under my ribs, but the opposite side. And this one started last week, and it was so low in my stomach at first that when I was in bed and I started feeling it, I thought it was in my testicles.
Wow.
I was like, oh my God, my right testicle. And it kind of was painful, and I was like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's nothing, maybe it'll go away. Yep. And it wasn't going away for like an hour when I was trying to go to sleep. So I stood up and I realized it wasn't really my testicles. It was just my stomach kind of more.
Right.
It was like behind my dick. Like imagine if you were eye level with my dick.
As I often have to. Yeah,
and it was right there. You know, my testicles are hanging lower. They're probably around where your teeth are.
Okay. I've got the picture now.
So I was like, I had this dull pain. And I was like, whatever. It wasn't that bad, but it's keeping me up. You know, next day I still feel the pain. It kind of goes away during the day and comes back. When Frank and Mary were here, it was not affecting me. Goes away and come back, getting worse and worse. The other night, which I believe was Friday night.
It was Friday night, yeah.
It was getting worse throughout the night. And I, like I said, it goes away during the day.
I brought you cookies that night.
Great, that's right.
Yes.
So during the day, I barely had it, but it was coming on. Like maybe I think it might have started Wednesday morning.
Okay.
And it would go away during the day, come back at night, go away. And it was kind of like pressure. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I go, I'm like, all right, well, I tell Gina, she goes to bed at midnight, and I'm cleaning the house. And I'm like, oh, like it's kind of, you know, it's a lot, but I'm okay. You know, last time I went, I know it's not my appendix. It's so similar to last time that it's not going to be a random new thing.
Right. Something that coincidentally is super
similar.
Pain.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going around my house and I'm like, it's 2:30. I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. And then I'm like, you know what? I have laundry. I'm going to wait till the laundry's done so I can switch it to the dryer.
Good thinking.
I'm waiting. I'm cleaning. Hard for me to move a little bit. I'm like, God, it's painful. I go to the bathroom. Let's just be honest. I sat down for a second, you know, to go to the bathroom. Went to stand up and it was like, I could barely stand up because of the pain. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, I need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Didn't know what to do. Weighing my options. I'm like, all right. I'm like, it hurts so much. I'm like, I can't walk up the stairs in my house. So I called Gina upstairs. Yep. I'm like, I think I have to go to the hospital. And I tell her about the pain. We go outside and she brings me like socks and shoes.
Right.
Go outside, go to get in her car. I go to bend down. The pain was so bad that it made me like cry for a second.
Wow.
Immediately. Like a flash of like crying.
Just bending over to get in the car.
Yeah. Only for 1 second.
Yeah.
You know, And I'd be honest about it. But like, the idea of pain hitting you so fast that you begin to start crying,
yep.
It was so bizarre. It hurt so bad. I was like, I don't know what to do. And Gina's like, call an ambulance. And I'm like, they're going to make me sit down too. Like, then I was like, let's try my SUV because that way I don't have to bend as much. And I got it really slow and I was okay. It starts hurting less on the way there.
Good.
A little bit. Get to the hospital. I called my mom. I was like, what hospital should I go to at this time of night?
Yeah.
Because I want a shorter visit. She goes, Miriam. I go to Miriam in Providence, Rhode Island. And I go in. They go, so what's your problem? I go, oh, I have this really intense stomach pain. And Gina's like, I'm going to go home and sleep. And my mom is like, I'm going to come meet you and stay with you in the hospital.
Sure.
I have this really intense stomach pain. And they're like, all right, Lee, do you have like diarrhea? I was like, oh, yeah, I have diarrhea. I'm not nauseous at all.
Right.
She's like, do you have any of these COVID symptoms? I go, no. She goes, okay, well, stomach stuff is a COVID symptom. You have to be in quarantine.
Ooh.
And I'm like, okay. And like, I'm not going to argue with them.
Right.
It doesn't really make any sense to me, but whatever. Because this is not
right.
COVID. Yeah. You know what I mean? We've dealt with this. So I go into this quarantine room. They take me out. They take my, I don't know, blood pressure, the finger one, oxygen level.
Sure.
They take me to a room. And she says, she goes, I'm just letting you know, it's going to be 3 to 3.5 to 4 hours.
Wow.
And I'm like, fuck. So I asked for a pillow. I'm like, I'm just going to try to go to sleep.
Yep.
It didn't hurt as much.
Right.
It was weird. It was like, it got to like a peak.
Yep.
Almost like a roller coaster. And then it kind of went down.
Oh, and then a loop-de-loop.
Let's say it got to like an 8 to 9 of pain.
Yep.
Then it immediately went down to like a 6.
Okay.
You know? And only when I really bend.
Right.
Like when it was at an 8 and 9, I couldn't even lift my leg to walk up the stairs.
Yep.
But at a 6, I can kind of sit okay as long as I angle the right way.
Right.
And I don't inhale super... like super harshly. So they take me to a room, go in the room. I'm kind of falling asleep and they're like, we have to give you an IV again. And the girl comes in and I'm like, I fucking hate IVs. I'm like, is there any way I cannot get an IV? It's always me and an IV. And she's like, I'm sorry. And she was kind of one of those nurses and I love nurses. I love them all. But I feel like sometimes a nurse goes into a room with one guy and their head is cracked open.
Yep.
And she goes into another room with someone who has like a phobia of IVs.
Yep.
And she's like, come on, you pussy.
Yeah.
But it sucks for the person. It still sucks for the person with the phobia of IVs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, it also sucks for the guy with his head cracked open.
But does that really matter? Does that really matter to the person?
It matters to that guy, yeah.
No, I'm not, but he's fine. Like, that's fine.
Oh, it's just cracked open.
Well, I'm just saying like, no, I'm not saying he's fine. I'm saying like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're like, well, here's the worst thing that can happen to you. Anything below that, shut up and deal with.
Right.
It's not a great method to deal with things.
No, it is not.
And she was nice, whatever. But definitely was like, no, we get IVs. Like, she goes, you come to the hospital, you get an IV, blah, blah, blah. She was like, really, really. And I was like, here's the vein I want. I picked my vein. You know, it was just like at a fancy restaurant where you pick your lobster.
Yes, of course.
I put it under a glass and it was in the aquarium. I tickled it. It had a rubber bands around its claws. But like, there is a vein.
I think there might be a problem with your veins, not just your stomach.
There is a vein all the way to the left of my left arm that when they take blood, I can't even feel it go in.
Right.
I don't even feel the needle. By the way, I had an idea for an invention. Not an invention, but a methodology. How about this? When you're born, or maybe when you're turned to adult, 18, 19, 20, whatever, they take a part of your body and they deaden all the nerves at your vein site.
It seems dangerous.
Why? What is going to happen? I guess I could shoot up heroin a lot easier.
You could.
But no, first of all, who's like, I would shoot up heroin, but it hurts.
Can you localize the nerve deadening?
I think so. Well, people have nerve damage and their nerves don't work and their places are numb.
I guess.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know what? You go ahead and you sign up for your experimental treatment.
So anyway, she gives me IV. She's like, do you want anything for pain? I'm like, sure. And they gave me morphine.
Wow.
Which was... honestly, it didn't really make me feel that much.
No.
I was just kind of like warm and sleepy. And then they're like, okay, so the doctor was really nice. And I was like, I got this. I explained it. And he really paid attention to what I was saying. Listen, he goes, listen, he's like, you got an ultrasound last time. Let's do a CAT scan.
Okay.
I said, let's do it. They have to fill you. You know, they have to fill you with radiated dye.
I do.
Have you done it?
Yes.
So they filled me with dye. Did your anus tingle? My anus and my testicles tingled from the dye.
I don't remember it tingling. No, you know, no, I didn't have a CAT scan. I had an MRI. Sorry.
Yeah, it's so different. It's similar.
Different tingles.
So this girl, so they put all the things all over me, electrodes.
My nipples tingled.
Give me all these electrodes. They're hooking me up, electrocuting me. They bring me into the room, and
They got a wet sponge on your head. They put the cap on.
Gina texts me. Uh-huh. She goes, did your mom tell you about your papa? My grandfather. I go, no. She goes, he has diverticulitis.
Oh, that's what Brock Lesnar has. It's an intestinal thing. They had to cut out part of Brock Lesnar's large intestine, maybe?
Yes, and he had to retire from UFC because people were kicking him in the stomach to capitalize
on
it.
And it was causing too much pain, yes.
I was like, okay, I told the doctor that. I go in, and they're looking at everything. You know, they look at everything. A woman comes in. A pregnant Indian woman comes in. She goes,
is she
like
a doctor or is she a patient?
She's a doctor. She's a new doctor. She's like, hi, I'm a new doctor. The other doctor's doing something. I go, okay.
Is her name a new doctor? Because yes. If so.
And this is probably, I'd say like maybe 2 hours, 2.5 hours after I came in.
Okay.
And they were cool. They were very attentive and nice. Yep. And they'd be like, they come in and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. But I was just kind of trying to sleep, so I didn't mind. Yep. She goes, hi, your CAT scan results are here. And by the way, if you don't know, like I'm part of like Lifespan, which is a medical group.
Yep.
So when you go to the doctor and they take your blood, you get emails in the moment that give you all the results. So I'm seeing all the results come in.
By the way, I had a physical done in January. I still don't have the results.
So it's
so
it's,
maybe it's a login thing.
It sends my email. So it sends me them all. So I'm reading all my results, and I don't know a lot of them. GED, DRI, DTF, Y.
I mean, I know some of those.
And it's giving me all the things, and they're all the same. They're all normal. And again, white blood cell count is high.
Okay.
And that's the only thing that's coming up. They're doing like 25 tests or whatever. Yep. Pregnant Indian woman comes in. She walks in. She goes like this. She goes, hello, I'm the doctor that's going to be taking over. The other doctor is busy doing this. And I'm like, okay. And I'm kind of groggy.
Right.
She goes, so we looked at your CAT scan. You have diverticulitis.
Wow.
And I went, I have diverticulitis? She goes, yep. I go, okay. She goes, so... I go, what should I do? And she goes, well, you can't eat nuts or seeds or popcorn. I go, I can't eat nuts or seeds? Because I'm repeating it because I'm like kind of groggy. I go, I can't eat nuts or seeds or popcorn. And she goes, unless you grind them into a fine dust. I go, unless I grind them into a fine dust. And it was so stupid. But I was like, I have diverticulitis. Like,
what does this mean for your UFC career?
I was like, well, what is this? Like, what do I do? What is this? I don't know. And she's like, we're going to give you these two antibiotics. They're going to help you a lot with this. Right now, you have a specific infection from it.
Right.
She goes, what it is you have little pockets in your intestines and food got caught there. And right now, it's infected.
Got it.
And that's what this is. This is an infection, like an inflammation. And she goes, we're going to give you these two antibiotics and help you.
It'll clear up the infection.
Yeah. I go, okay, what do I do? And she goes, follow up with a gastroenterologist, and she just walks out of the room. And in my head, I'm like, I have diverticulitis. Is this a serious thing?
Right.
I don't know what, like, all I'm thinking of is Brock Lesnar having this operation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I should be like devastated or relieved.
Right.
Like, one thing that's good about the thing that I have when I had these problems is like other people go in with pains like this and they're like, you have emergency surgery.
Yeah.
Someone, I don't even know if it's someone we know in real life. I think it is. Their appendix burst, and they didn't go in for a week. They didn't realize it. They didn't know that their appendix burst. Yeah. Someone I know.
Similarly, a friend of ours just 2 weeks ago had abdominal pain, and she went in, and they're like, your appendix has to come out. You know, it will have surgery for you in the next 6 hours. And then 20 minutes later, they're like, all right, it's time for your surgery.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like when I was hitting that peak of pain, I was about to burst, and there was a time limit before I was dead.
Right.
You know, this is just pain.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know if I should be devastated. Is this going to change my life? I'm so scared. I don't know what to think about this.
You have to grind more things into a fine powder.
Well, I was like, I don't know what to do. And I don't know what, and I'm, all these things are going through my mind. A nurse comes in and she was like, hello, like I'm helping you with your discharge, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, they just came in and explained. They didn't really explain this to me at all. They just told me I have this thing, this condition, but I don't know what it means.
And the nurse is like, oh my God, like Brock Lesnar. And she goes, oh my, you get it.
She's like, and she explained it the same thing.
Right.
And she's like, my brother has diverticulitis and he takes Metamucil and it's not really an issue. And I'm like, okay. And then she's like, and she gave me all this paperwork about it.
Right.
She goes, it shouldn't be a big deal. Like you have to eat a high fiber diet.
Right.
She goes, right now, what you have to eat while the infection is happening is a low residue diet, which is actually low fiber.
Got it.
But after that, in general, to take care of this. You just want to eat a high fiber diet.
Yep.
We don't give you, there's not a treatment for it.
Right.
We don't give you pills. We don't give you anything.
Right.
You just do this. And she goes, do you have hemochromatosis? And I'm like, no, I don't have hemochromatosis. And as people who listen to my medical history on the podcast know,
it's true.
Doctors were like, you should have hemochromatosis. Go get tested. And they're like, somehow you don't have hemochromatosis,
right?
Which is an excess of iron in your blood. And both of my parents have the gene for it. And so you'd think I would have it, definitely.
You would.
But I don't have it. Or maybe I do now.
Right.
Although, well, they would probably test the iron in my blood.
One would think.
All right. Anyway. Wait. Is that why she asked me? Because my iron's too high?
I don't know. I don't know why she asked you.
Dicks. Anyway, so she's like, I got to look at my levels. Yeah. But
check your lifespan app.
She's like, you have to go to an gastroenterologist to look at this. And here's all your paperwork. But and she was kind of like, it should be okay.
Yeah.
Should be okay. And my mom was there and she left me and I'm like, they told me I have diverticulitis. And she's like, my mom was like, well, she's like, that's fine. She's like, you know, Papa, she's like, Papa has it. And he used to once in a while get like those painful inflammation things.
Right.
He goes, but he doesn't even like eat like he should now. And he's 96 and he doesn't have any problems at all with it.
Yeah.
She's like, he eats nuts and stuff all the time. And he doesn't care.
Okay.
And he doesn't have any problems. And I'm like, okay. And I'm going home and but it was weird. First of all, I was really groggy.
Right.
I don't know if it was from
the morphine,
staying up until 9 a.m.
Right.
And then it was weird sleeping the next day because you're like, well, I should sleep. It's even though I'm up until 9 a.m., but you're right. Not going to sleep for 8 hours.
No.
I slept until like 2. So that's only 5 hours.
Right.
But I'm dealing with all this pain and my body's fighting an infection. I'm taking the antibiotics, the morphine, everything. So I was out of it the next day. You came over, you watched Civil War with Gina's sister and her boyfriend. And I was really like bummed and like sad about the diverticulitis. And I was like, I don't really want to do too much research on this by myself because I don't think that's like a good way to do things.
No, you're just going to see the worst case scenarios.
Yeah, you're going to see like weird stuff and you're going to see anecdotal evidence.
Right.
What you want to do is go to a gastroenterologist and get a doctor that specializes in this and do what they say and trust their opinion.
Yes.
No need to catastrophize ahead of time. No need to like make a decision before you talk to anyone that's a specialist.
Right.
And I call my doctor Monday, got a recommendation, called that person, and I didn't hear back yet, but I'm waiting to. And but I did the reading of course of the stuff they printed out for me.
Right.
I'm following the low residue diet, whatever. Right. I'm doing all the things they told me to do. And I did read, it says like when you have this initial outbreak of diverticulitis, where it turns into an infection.
Right.
They said that it was like 80% of people never have it affect them again.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, wait a minute though. This is probably the third time I've had it.
Right.
No, it's not, because it says when you get it treated by heavy antibiotics,
okay,
it never comes back. So there's a possibility that it's been kind of like there the whole time.
Right.
Or like whatever has been there the whole time. And that I never got it treated because the first people said it was a muscle thing.
Yep.
The second people said it's some kind of infection. We're not going to give you anything for it. It's probably in your stomach. And I actually chalked that up to like low grade food poisoning because when I looked up stomach infection, it said that could be part of it.
Yeah.
And now I don't know. I guess I have a diverticulitis. I have diverticulitis, not a diverticulitis.
Right.
And so I don't know what this means for me. It looks likely that it's possible that it's not really going to affect me.
Right.
But I'm real, and in my head, I'm going to nightmare scenarios where I'm like, oh no, once a month, intense pain that could come on at any time and you're in the ER.
Yep.
And I don't even know, like, do I not go to the ER anymore? But part of me is like, well, both times that it got like this, it started like 3 days ahead of time and really slowly built up. So maybe now that I know that I have it, if I know it builds up like that, maybe I can talk to a doctor while it's doing that and there's something that helps you initially. Right. And Friday night beforehand at like 6:30, I ate like a bunch of buffalo chicken.
And those cookies I brought you.
Well, buffalo chicken though is like one of the things that's like not good.
It's going to exacerbate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
also the cookies were great. So
they were really good.
Let's not blame those.
Yep. And so now I don't know. I'm waiting to go see a gastroenterologist.
Yep.
And we see how it goes. But I'm in the middle, you know, it's Friday. So I'm almost at the end of my, Well, I didn't start taking them until Saturday midday.
Right.
My antibiotics. So we have 2 more days of antibiotics. Yeah.
Man.
What do you think about that?
Pretty crazy. It's on the one hand, at least there's a name for what's going on, and it's not just a phantom pain that haunts you,
right?
You know, every so often. It's not a fun diagnosis, but it, you know, at least you know you have a baseline of where to start from. And if this happens, you know, 2 months from now, you're like, hey, like, can I get some antibiotics?
Right.
Early, these are the symptoms, blah, blah, blah. I think it's diverticulitis acting up. I've been eating a lot of unpowdered popcorn. And they'll be like, oh, you got to powder that popcorn. And you'll be like, I know. It's just my mortar and pestle. We're in the shop.
That's the thing. And so, like, what I'm hoping, and by the way, people reaching out, if you know me, if you're going to comment on this, if you're going to email in, please don't tell me anything that's scary about this. Don't say, you know, you really got to make sure because this is really scary because blah, blah. Don't do that. Please do not do that.
Right.
I'm asking you not to do that.
If there's something about safety glasses that will prevent.
No. Also,
we want to hear that.
But so, yeah. So, you know, like I said, my paranoid side is like, you have to quit your job.
Yeah.
Is like, you have to quit your job and get a job like Brad.
Ugh, don't do it.
And that way, you know, you just have days off and whatever, and you're centralized and whatever.
Yep.
And the positive side of me is like, oh, it says 80% of people never even have this happen again.
Right.
Now since you know what it is, now you can eat more fiber.
Yep.
You could take this simple Metamucil or whatever.
Yep.
If you feel it coming on, you can affect it. You're going to have a gastroenterologist that tells you what to do. You don't have to be scared of what it is. Like, you know what I mean, you're not going to not know if, because the other day, even though it was like, I knew that it was the same pain.
Right.
I was like,
it's my gallbladder.
I was
this
like,
time.
What if I die?
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, they have a quote from me after my death, but I was like, oh, I just thought it was the same pain as before, but it miraculously is something different.
Right.
But now there's all these reasons where I can be.
What if I die and I never got my laundry switched over to the dryer?
Right.
Yeah.
No, but now it's like, if I know what it is and I have a gastroenterologist, like I said, I could change my diet even a little bit to have more fiber.
Right.
Metamucil. Knowing ahead of time, when I feel it coming on, I can contact someone. So there's all these things that make it seem like it might not be a big deal, especially the 80% of people never get it again.
Right.
But then I'm like, well, why did Brock Lesnar have that operation? And I said to the woman, like the nurse, I was like, Brock Lesnar had an operation. You know, I was like saying that.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? I'm like, come closer. And she's like, she goes, my brother takes Metamucil. And I basically was like, then why did Brock Lesnar have to have an operation? That's basically how I responded.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, she goes, if it's really, really bad for some people, they can get operations, I guess, and that cures it completely.
Yeah.
But she was kind of like, that seems unlikely.
How much fiber is Brock Lesnar getting in his diet? I got to think his is a high protein diet.
Perhaps. You know? Yeah.
Got a lot of muscles to maintain.
But yeah, so I was like, so I've been in a really weird place back and forth, but for a couple days, I was like, I basically was like, oh, I'm dead. I'm like, yeah. I have to like change my life.
Yep.
I'm not me anymore. I can't do any of the stuff that I like to do. Like I basically am bedridden, like all this stuff that's, I mean, not exactly bedridden, but like I can't follow my dreams.
Right.
Basically because of this. But I don't think that that's accurate.
No.
And I've decided no matter what is accurate, I'm going to wait to be like, here's the deal until I talk to the gastroenterologist.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but that's what happened last week at the hospital.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I woke up Saturday morning to an email from you saying, I'm going to bed now. It's 8:45. I was in the ER all night.
Yeah.
We'll talk when I'll call you when I get up. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I just waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And then I had to text you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was still in bed when you texted me, actually. Yeah. What time did you text me?
I don't know, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I woke up at 2:30. I stayed in bed till 5 o'clock.
Yeah. I watched the Bears game that day, and it made me sick to my stomach. It's just preseason.
Why do I have that? Get to me straight.
Yep.
You like the Bears.
I get sick about every 7 days from mid-September to early January.
A fate worse than death.
Yes. You know the website I like, defector.com?
That's funny.
There's a guy who writes a column every year. It's called Why Your Team Sucks.
Yeah.
And he makes fun of the football team. And then all the fans write in and they're like, oh, my, like we can't draft a quarterback to save our life. Our fans are racist, you know, whatever. And I sent in last year and I got published. And it was like, every fan base says that they're a racist fan base, but ours is the most racist.
Yeah.
That was last year. And this year I was like, oh man, I bought this Urlacher jersey in 2013 for $200.
Yeah.
And after his George Floyd comments, I sold it, but nobody wanted it. So I lost $150 on this thing. A great investment. Didn't run it. It didn't make the cut for why your team sucks this year. I was a little disappointed.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's a good story too.
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's financial in nature. Yeah. Probably could have phrased things better. You know,
sure,
it happens.
Yeah, sometimes you write things quick.
Yeah. So, well, I'm glad there's a diagnosis. There's a name to your pain, even if it's, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, what did you hope was the case?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't know what I thought was.
They're like, oh, it's, you know, you can't have buffalo chicken three times in a week, and you're like. Yeah, they pan back to you and you've got two guns to your head.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I really want to talk to this gastroenterologist because, you know,
yeah,
I want to do the right thing.
Yeah, of course.
And I it's weird because I'm like, I kept thinking in my head, I'm like, in a year from now, I might be like, oh yeah, that was weird.
Right.
And not a big deal after that.
Right.
Or I'm like, and in my head, I'm like attached to tubes in a bed. I've got a face mask on.
Mm-hmm, of course.
I don't know.
It's going to be Nerf darts sticking out where your eyes should be.
Yeah.
Should have worn safety glasses.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out, man.
Yeah.
Just bird by bird.
I hate it.
Folks, like,
again, no horror stories, please.
Yes.
Don't do it.
If you want to send messages of support,
I mean, Brock Lesnar
love,
is still wrestling.
Right.
Like, no one's trying to kick me in the stomach. Right, we're having a Nerf gun fight. Fuck you. You hit me in my cornea.
You hit me in my safety glasses.
All you have is Darth Vader sticking off your safety glasses.
Nowhere else on.
I can't see.
If you want to send Chuck messages of positive support of people you know with diverticulitis who their penises grew because of it, whatever, send us an email, chuckandbrad@gmail.com, or find the email links through chuckandbradpodcast.com. Get excited in a couple weeks for my elbow, the Tales from Brad's Elbow. Is it tennis elbow or bone spurs?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be a while before I can get
if
in.
You have bone spurs, are they sharp? Can you get people with them?
I don't think it's like bone claws. I think it's like it's rubbing on the ligaments and I have a lot of elbow pain.
Yeah.
But I don't have time to go to the doctor yet. Give me a week.
Yep.
We're going to just talk about our ailments going forward. It's going to be a very, very riveting podcast.
Hell yeah.
But folks out there, we appreciate each and every one of you. I feel like I was hard on our Barrington friend. I feel like I made a lot of jokes at his expense.
No, I think he's fine. Eric, I think he likes being involved, that guy.
Good. We got a bunch of fun stuff coming up and trying to get some shows together and go from there. So thank you all so much for listening. We really and truly do appreciate it.
Yes.
That's all I've got.
That's all I got.
Deuces.
This morning, smelled at the rising sun. Three little birds pitched by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of memories pure and true. Singing, this is my message to you. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing.
message to you.